Take a vacation from your bills, pay off credit cards, and save thousands of dollars after a simple phone call to Golden Oak Lending. Visit goldenoaklending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swan hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports, episode 189. We got basically the first weekend under our belts. Some surprises, some maybe not surprises. I mean, I'll summarize what we're going to talk about. We're going to delve in quickly the great start the Yankees have, the struggling start the Red Sox have. We'll talk about those Yankee bats. We'll talk about Rafi Devers, and we'll go from there. John, you probably couldn't, other than wanting to spread the runs around a little bit better over the course of the year, you probably couldn't have started any better.
No, you seriously couldn't. It was almost like I didn't believe what I was watching on the game over the weekend. But, you know, you say you start the season, but it's like the Yankees and some players, like Judge himself, they've accumulated like a whole month worth of stats. It's nuts what they've done over the weekend. And it just absolutely trounced Milwaukee with 36 runs over the weekend. Unbelievable.
And I, it's not a hard call. He's the reigning MVP, I think. I mean, but I really thought Judge would have a better start, and obviously he has. And what did you say? No more April Judge, right?
No April Judge, because, I mean, he was in rough shape last year. I mean, in comparison, if you look at what Judge did last April, let's see, he had he had 3 home runs and 8 RBIs over the weekend. And I wrote it down here. In April, he had the whole month of April. He had, where I wrote it down, 16 RBIs the whole month of April. Can you believe that?
I doubt he had more than 3 home runs either in April. I mean, he did nothing for a couple of weeks to start the season.
No, and he wound up batting like just over 200 by the time May came around. But obviously, you know, Judge is off to a hot start. It's funny when you watch that game, when he came up, you know, it was like you knew he came up with a grand slam, right? Bases loaded. You knew he was going to hit the grand slam. It's just one of those things where if you've watched baseball long enough, you knew he was going to hit the grand slam. But then he comes up again and is about to make, you know, like MLB history, I'll say, because it doesn't really happen too often, 4 home runs.
Yeah.
And as soon as he hit it, you knew it wasn't
enough.
Probably had enough, but of course – at Yankee Stadium with the short porch and right, you know, they're gonna start getting excited. But yeah, what a great game for Judge and a way to start off the weekend with the Yankees. Unbelievable.
Well, and to do it, I'm sort of surprised they started at Yankee Stadium to open the season, because usually you go warm at least the first week. You know,
especially Milwaukee's a dome, right?
And then you got Arizona coming to town to start the week, and then you go on the road. But I mean, Arizona's another team that they're going to come in with the weather. I think Arizona's a good baseball team, but I do think that if you're not used to playing in early April weather, I think it really can hinder a team.
Yeah, and you talk about early April weather. So if you're in the Northeast listening to us, the contrast over the week was insane, especially Saturday. So the game on Saturday where the Yankees knocked in all those runs, they played in like 75, 80 degree weather when literally 15, 20 miles north of there, the temperatures were dropping like rocks. And
in Windsor, Connecticut, it was
45.
It was awful. Yeah, it was felt even colder. So, and then on yesterday was probably pretty nasty. Or
it was just a little overcast. You know, not really rainy or anything. You know, one thing to point out, Brian, over the weekend with this series, you know, the Yankees scored 36 runs, and everyone's going to get excited about that. And you know me, Brian, I always got to point out something negative, right?
Of course.
negative Nelly here. But think about it, Brian. Max Fried does not get the win in a game where you score 20 runs, and Marcus Stroman doesn't get the win in a game where you score 12 runs in back-to-back starts. So question marks right there. Yes, it's early in the season, but when a team is putting up that many runs for you and you can't make it through the fifth inning, you got to have question marks, a lot of question marks. And let's go back to Jason Dominguez too. If you haven't figured it out yet, the dude is not going to make it in left field with the Yankees. He almost dropped an easy routine fly ball. He pulled up short on a line drive you could easily caught running in. So, Yeah, we'll say it's a work in progress, but I will make my prediction like last year that Clay Holmes would not be the closer for the Yankees. Jason Dominguez is not going to be your outfielder come playoffs at all. It's not going to happen.
Not going to work. He's John Senecal. I'm Brian Shackman. This is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. And you contrast that with the Red Sox. I mean, it's classic fashion. They go 1-3 to start, and Dan Shaughnessy, the boss of Globe, writes a column on how things continue to be horrible in Boston, and you're only four games in. Now, is it a little early to say that? Yes, but it's a lot worse than going 3-1 or 3-0 out of the gates. And listen, Texas is a pretty good team. And they go to Baltimore before doing their home opener, obviously on Friday, April the 4th, which I will be at. The Sox didn't play terrible. I mean, they didn't play terrible. They lost a couple of close games. But everyone's focused on Rafi Devers and the numbers. I mean, we on my morning show on WTIC, we compared him on the weekend to Tony Gwynn's final full season. I think Tony Gwynn struck out like 16 times the whole year with like 400 at-bats. And Devers will probably pass that, you know, before the end of this week. I mean, his OPS is 200. His average is zero. He has one RBI and zero hits. And he struck out 12 times. And the way I put it is this him not being able to see the ball through the tears, or is he hurt, or is it both?
Well, I think it's a combination of three things, Brian, the two you talked about, and the fact that he just didn't have a spring training. I mean, you're talking about a guy who literally, I think he had, what, one game in spring training, maybe two? And that's, you know, yes, you're going to play some sort of major league talent at the end of spring training, but not enough to get you ready for the season. I mean, he's going in there, he's facing Eovaldi and DeGrom, two of the first three starters. I mean, come on. You know, just like the Yankees scored, hit 15 home runs over the weekend and tied a major league record, Rafi Devers breaks a major league record by striking out 12 times in his first four games of the season. Never been done in major league history.
What do you think, for as someone who's not a Red Sox fan, I mean, how do you think this plays out?
Well, you know, in our text, in our famous text string that we like to have and comment about the games and stuff, we talked a lot of Yankees over the weekend, but one of the things I had said about Rafi Devers is this is a perfect time for Rafi Devers to go on the IL where he should be and for the team to show they can win without him. And for Rafi Devers to either figure out he wants to be part of this team and get his act together, get in shape, put the work in. Because listen, if he goes on the IL, he's only probably a month away from getting himself back in action. That being said, if his shoulders really aren't a huge issue, which we talked about that before, I don't get why all of a sudden he's got shoulder issues like he had last year. Like, fix it. Figure it out.
Yeah, like, what are you doing there? Well, now you're here that you pick up a bat during the offseason. And obviously,
but pressure him. He doesn't put him on the IL.
He doesn't look like he's – so if you put him on the IL, you say basically you're calling his bluff. But what if he's a young kid who's never really dealt with this kind of adversity and doesn't have good guidance? I feel like he's a lost human, right? I mean, I again, like, all of this is speculative because I don't know if he's really hurt at all. My gut is he's hiding behind a possible injury to excuse some stuff. And so I think he's just pouting, and it's hard to control your emotions when you're mad or sad, or I mean, it's hard to perform when you have those emotions. I mean, we've all been through it. If you're mad about something at work, you're probably not going to perform well. If you're sad about something, you're probably not going to do anything well. I mean, these are still human beings, but for him to not realize he still gets paid $30 million and he's got a job to do, like when somebody comes up and shows up out of shape, I lose respect almost immediately, right? I mean, it's like immediate. So I talked about this last podcast that I can't remember a player who's still with the team who's gone from so popular to so unpopular this quickly. Like most of the times, like Clemens leaves and you hate him. Boggs leaves and you hate him. You know, maybe Lester. But what's his name?
Johnny Damon.
Or Beckett. Josh Beckett was a total, you know, jack wagon at the end, but we didn't find out until he was gone, right? So, I mean, Pedro was difficult, but everyone still loved him and everyone still loves him. So I can't think of a comp because I'm curious because I'm going to opening day on Friday. Like, is he going to get booed?
Well, he's got a few days to figure it out, but I honestly think he's still hurt and he's out of shape, and that's what's ruining him is the most. And I think it might be the Red Sox are almost kind of saying, like, hey – It's like leaving a starter out there, you know, and let him take his lumps. Like, they're basically saying, listen, you prove to us that you're healthy and stay on the field, or you're going to have to go on the IL. The Red Sox are not going to keep this guy in the lineup more than this week if he's not performing. It's just how it's going to be. And that's the quickest way to take a superstar out of the lineup is IL. And the Yankees have done it 100 times.
Right. Now but you say it doesn't take pressure off him. It'll end up putting more pressure on him.
I think it puts more pressure on him because, I mean, he don't think he doesn't hear this chatter. I mean, he knows he's out of shape. All you got to do is look in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah. I was curious about the rest of baseball. Is there anything you've sort of seen that's interesting to note? Obviously, there's the Blue Jays already lost Scherzer.
It's so early in the season. I think you know what we have to talk a little bit more about is these bats that the Yankees are using. I think that's the
That's on our agenda. Yeah.
I mean, we talked about how many runs they're scoring, but of course everybody's attributing to the torpedo bats, right? Like these bats definitely look different, but it's totally within the realm of legality in MLB. And as a matter of fact, they've been available because MLB uses Victus as their official bats since the 2023 season. These bats have been available to make if they needed them. And basically what it is it's a modification of a bat, obviously, but the Yankees were the ones who kind of dreamed this thing up last year. And a guy named Aaron Leinhart, who's an actual MIT physicist, a former MIT physicist who worked for the Yankees, who now works for the Florida Marlins. But he dreamed this concept up about moving the density of the end of the bat more down towards the barrel for players that want to get more barrel on
more
the bat.
Down towards the handle.
More towards the handle. So you're going to be thicker towards the handle and a little bit thinner on the end. So you're not going to have that traditional round end on a bat. It's going to look like a bowling pin in a way, kind of. I think it almost looks more like a bowling pin than a torpedo. But, you know, the Yankees, depending on what you read, we know Volpe's definitely using it. We know Jazz is definitely using it. Bellinger is definitely using it, and they're saying Goldschmidt and Wells are also using it. Now, there's other MLB players have used them this year. Junior Caminero used it. Ryan Jeffers used it for the Twins. And so it's available. It's available right for players.
Well, I mean, the concept is, I guess they did some studies that where the contact points, and they were hitting the label more than the barrel. And so they just moved the barrel kind of more toward the middle, where it actually makes the most contact with the ball, which is logical. But that's another data. Like, the baseball bats have been made the same way for 150 years, basically, although they've thinned the handle and lightened the bat. But it makes a lot of sense. It's kind of like another data-driven money ball kind of move. But I think that eventually they're basically going to put a batter in a cage for a couple of days or a couple of weeks and do the sensors and do the contact points for every player, and then design a bat specifically for that player.
I mean, like casting a mold, basically.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what you're going to get. But in some ways, I'm almost surprised that with all this quote unquote data garbage that we deal with all the time, that they haven't done something like that. Or they do that in other sports. They like try to maximize. They do all these studies. They put all the contraptions on their body to show their motion, and then they design equipment that maximizes what they do. I mean, that's what we're talking about. And I don't see that. I don't love like the shift, and I don't love a whole bunch of other stuff. I don't launch angle, but this actually makes a ton of sense to me. That why wouldn't you customize a bat to someone's habits?
Yeah, well, in the past, the bats have always basically been customized to weight, right? Like, I swing a 32
simple,
inch.
It's very simple metrics. It's length and weight. 32 inches long, 29 ounces. Like, but that's it. There hasn't been any other innovation on the bat.
I mean, now you're basically changing the overall design and the look of the bat. And, you know, given what you say, it's not for everybody, right? I mean, it's a different transfer of the weight. It's a different swing path. You know, guys that might be stronger might not want it. Like Aaron Judge doesn't want anything to do with it. But Cody Bellinger actually had a chance to use it last year. He used it in spring training of 2024 and never used it during the season. Now I say a version of that bat. The Yankees have fine-tuned the bat. And Volpe was using it all of spring training. And then Jazz tried it in a game, hit a double and a home run in it, and he said he was sold. So it's for some. It's not for others. We'll wait and see how MLB reacts to it. Now, it's not going to get banned because it's obviously in the realm of all the specs that can be made. So we'll see if maybe the Rafi Devers will pick one up. We'll see.
I just think it could end up launching a whole new way to do – bats in baseball in general. I mean, I when I sat and thought about it, I'm like, gosh, we haven't changed how we view things since I was in Little League. You know what I mean? The only thing I've noticed is that, you know, per the weight, the handles have gotten narrower, which is makes it easier to swing through with bats.
Yeah, and then they had the little cupping in the on the end, you know, the end of the bat got cupped in like probably the like late 80s, early 90s. Every once in a while you'd see that. That's still in play. But yeah, other than corking bats and stuffing them with rubber balls like they used to in the 80s.
Back in the day. thanks for making sure we hit on that, because it's something that came out of nowhere for most of us. And now everybody's talking about the bats. I mean, over the weekend, yesterday, it just seemed to be absolutely everywhere. We're going to wrap things up. Quick one, because we wanted to summarize the start of the season. The bats and Rafi Devers. So we got to everything. We'll have another one either late this week or early next week. You've been listening to Fanbase, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry.